Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're going to your calls live in just a few moments. The number is always to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We've been talking about it for a long time, the resource of the month. It's simply called Origin. You've heard me say this probably 1,000 times, but how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. And there's no question whatsoever in an age of scientific enlightenment that God spoke and the universe leapt into existence. To suppose that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produces metaphysical realities like sex or love or any kind of morals or ethics is simply a stretch that a credible person ought to make in this age in which we know far too much. I also want to mention another resource that I want to put into your hands as we're drawing very, very close to Thanksgiving, right around the corner. Next week, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, and I put together a resource. It's called The Heart of Christmas. It's a wonderful devotional for you and a welcome gift for family and friends this Thanksgiving. So as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. The reason I'm talking about Thanksgiving is I want to get this devotional in your hands so you can start the very first of December with a devotional every single day. There are 25 devotionals. They are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. There is scripture, carols, questions for reflection to guide your journey through the 25 days leading to the celebration of Christ's birth. There's also an audiobook on the Heart of Christmas. It's available on CD, and this is a perfect gift for giving this holiday season as well. Get your copies now so that you and your loved ones can start on December 1st. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. One of those devotionals is about the long-awaited Christ. And the reason I wrote that particular devotional is because we live in a largely biblically illiterate culture, a culture in which many mistakenly suppose that Christ actually represents the last name of Jesus, as in Jesus Christ. In truth, of course, Christ is a title that comes from the Greek rendering of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. And as such, the Christ of Christmas is the long-awaited Messiah who fulfills all the types and shadows of the Old Testament scriptures. In other words, we don't have to live in the darkness. The light has come. And to fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you have to drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. So many times people ask me, why do I need to read the Old Testament when we have the reality in the new? Well, there's a root, and you can't really properly taste the fruit without knowing about the root. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of the Christ that we celebrate each Christmas. In fact, in his letter to the Romans, Paul refers to Adam as a pattern, literally a type of Jesus Christ. And Paul taught the believers when he was at Colossae that the dietary laws and the religious festivals and the Sabbath of the Old Covenant, they were a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And this interpretive principle of typology that I talk about on the radio all the time, I'm so excited about. It's persuasive, and you find it throughout the Gospels. Christ's successful resistance of temptation in the desert. Remember, it was 40 days of fasting. That was a direct typological contrast to the disobedience of the Israelites that resulted in 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And in remaining faithful to his Father, Christ did what Israel was unable to do. And he is, therefore, true Israel. And the great thing for all of us is that if we are found in Christ, we are therefore, as Paul put it, heirs according to the promises that God made to Abraham. And Jesus is revealed as the antitype, which means that to which the type points, the antitype of the Hebrew prophets through his preaching of repentance, through his ministry of healing, his concern for the poor, for social outcasts, his death near Jerusalem. And though like the prophets in all of these ways, Christ is shown to be greater than all of the previous prophets in the manner of his miraculous ministry, his claims to be God, and most importantly of all, the vindication of those claims in his resurrection. I love what Luke's gospel says. Jesus himself, beginning with Moses and the prophets, explained to his disciples what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. It is, therefore, Jesus and Jesus alone who can emerge through the doorway of the Old Testament scriptures. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. The number to dial is mentioned, 888-ASK. Hank, Doug is first in California, listening in 29 Palms. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Your question.
Yes, I do. In fact, the Lord spoke to me about this chapter. And in fact, that's why I've been feeling so miserable as a believer. And I've known the Lord since I was 17. I'm now 37. I think a lot of people are generally miserable based on how they base their life on this one chapter I found in Ecclesiastes. Have you ever read Ecclesiastes chapter 6?
It's one of my favorites. And in fact, when I'm with people who have a great deal of wealth, I'm always reminded of how fleeting that is, no matter how much wealth you have accumulated in this short lifetime of ours. Inevitably, you die, and then that wealth goes to other people. And so the real issue that you find in this passage is, first of all, a recognition that life is no more than a shadow, and no matter what you achieve while you're here for a momentary period on this earth, you can't take it with you when you die. And at the same time, we can, if we're true believers, rejoice because true wisdom is always found in Jesus Christ. So here's the takeaway. The soul that labors for the food of immortality is thereby covered not in darkness, but in life, and lives not just, and there's metaphor used in this passage, not just for 1,000 years, but lives forever. So the takeaway for me in this passage is don't set your sights on mean earthly vanities, but raise your gaze to eternal verities. That's the point of the passage.
And this thing which I've seen other believers to where they're not thankful for what the Lord has already given them, and then it's not never enough to where we become covetousness towards what other believers have and we feel unthankful. And that I started comparing myself to others and thinking that the Lord loved them better based on what they had. I didn't realize that when I read this, the Lord was saying, well, you know, this is how I've been acting. Man, I feel terrible in this situation. I wasn't like this before.
I think that's a brilliant observation on your part. I think that many of us look at what people have We lust after those things. We compare ourselves with people. And what that does in the end is it leads to a heart that is lacking in gratitude. I'm so glad you brought that up, particularly as we enter a season called Thanksgiving. We're going to be really focusing in on the blessings that the Lord has given us. And one of the things that I do every single day as I pray, even before I go on the air, I do the same thing, is I focus on putting my faith in God, not on my own abilities. I then focus on worshiping God and trusting in Him alone, putting my faith in Him. Then I confess my sins once again, and then I give a prayer of thanksgiving, because so often God blesses me in so many different ways, and quite frankly, I forget the blessing very, very quickly as I barrage His throne of grace with a new request. And so I really appreciate what you just said. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in San Mateo, California, KDIA. Hi, John.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Hennigraf. My question is, why would God interested in raising us and we're going to have glorified bodies anyways?
Yeah, well, when we talk about being resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, that does not mean that every molecule is resuscitated. It simply means that there's continuity between the body that was and the body that will be. The point that Paul is making is that the pattern for your glorified body is in the body you now have. So you have a unique DNA, just as I do, and that DNA, if you will, is the blueprint for what will be when you're resurrected, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Okay, that answered my question. Thank you very much, Dr. Hey,
you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Important questions. We get questions all the time on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but in many other venues as well. When I travel, there's always a time for questions and answers. The Christian Research Institute, as an organization, gets questions in many different ways. The questions that you have are anticipated on our website at equip.org. And so we have many different outreaches as an organization around the world, and we do ask people to stand with our ministry. A lot of reasons for that. We don't want to do what we do in a solo capacity. We want to be a team, not just in terms of the team within the walls of the Christian Research Institute, but those who support us are a vital part of the team. We simply could not do what we do without you. It is your prayers, your financial support that make this ministry an ongoing reality. I'm encouraging people as we get very, very close to the season of giving, where we remember that Christ gave His all and we remember that we too should give. I'm encouraging people that support this ministry to do so generously, and those that have not yet committed to supporting, to consider doing that. We need people, again, to stand with us prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. CRI's work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth, again, simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners like you. Support team members, by the way, undergird and strengthen every one of our outreaches around the world, serves to equip fellow believers, including pastors and missionaries, as we do so much training for here and around the globe. And we need to add at least 30 new support team members by the end of this month and 30 more by year end. The only thing I want to qualify is that the 30 new support team members by the end of this month is a number that's just a rounded number. Some people have already joined since I've mentioned this number, so the number is less than that. But please, if you can become one of those support team members, I deeply appreciate it. You can help change our world by simply going to equip.org or by calling 888-7000 and the letters CRI. That's 888-7000 and the letters 275. or 274, excuse me. Also, you can download our CRI app. I mean, I think one of the great things in the age of technology is you can be anywhere in the world. They have a smartphone. You can listen to the broadcast either live or you can listen to the broadcast archived. In other words, older broadcasts that have come and gone but are still relevant. You can read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. You can also use the app to conveniently support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. If you want to download your free app, and I hope you do, just go to equip.org/app. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number is always to dial 888-ASK-HANK.
With spectacular animation and leading-edge research, Illustra Media's new film, Origin, examines a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did the first life arise at a moment in time when there was no life of any kind? It's common today to hear the claim that simple chemistry without direction or plan explains how life began. But the film Origin exposes the absurdity of such a claim and reveals a molecular universe of extraordinary biological engineering that points clearly to intelligence and mind. Receive Origin on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. To know where everything came from is to know where we came from. And where we came from has everything to do with who we are. And who we are has everything to do with how we ought to live. Wise words from molecular biologist and intelligent design theorist Douglas Axe. Find out more about how cutting-edge science demonstrates why our intuition that living things are designed is absolutely correct in Dr. Axe's new book, Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed. Without exaggeration, Undeniable might be considered the best book ever written on intelligent design. Receive the hardcover book, Undeniable, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Maria. She's listening in Grass Lake, Michigan, on the web. Hi, Maria.
Hi, it's Marla, actually, but no problem.
Hi, Marla.
Hello. My question for you is, hope you can help me out. For 21 years of our marriage, my husband and I have been attending various Protestant churches. And recently, my husband has decided to return back to the Catholic church he was raised in. And he wants myself and our four teenage children to convert over. And his reason for this is very interesting. He said that Protestants all study the same Bible, supposedly all led by the same Holy Spirit, yet all draw different conclusions, and they're all running around in different directions like cats. And I didn't know what to say to that, because he actually hit on a pretty big problem. And he said, at least we have the magistrate in the Catholic Church to keep and guard the doctrine. And I don't know if God will honor my worship in the Catholic Church, because I do not believe about everything. Just need a little bit of guidance, if you don't mind.
Sure. And I think that, you know, you have to acquiesce where there's an opportunity to acquiesce, which is to say that where he's making a valid point, you should augment that point, you support that point. And I would say that you have correctly pointed out that what happened between the East and the West back in 1054 caused a great schism in the body of Christ. And it is the opposite of the answer to Christ's high priestly prayer that they all should be as one. So there is a divide between East and West, between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. And then the Western Church, 500 years later, was split by the Reformation. So the Catholics on the one hand, the Protestants on the other, and he's correct in saying that the Protestant denominations have continued to fissure ever since. So there are so many of them. But I think that once you make agreement on that basic point, you have to then make a distinction. And that distinction is that all Christians are unified around the essentials of the Christian faith. Those are the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. This has been the North Star for the Christian church throughout its history. It is foundational to the gospel. When I talk about essentials, I'm talking about such things as the deity of Jesus Christ, or the Trinity, or the incarnation, or the fact that when we become believers, we are new creations in Christ. All of these are essentials of the historic Christian faith. So here's the point. In essentials, there has to be unity. In non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. With respect specifically to Roman Catholicism, I consider it a true church with significant error. The significant error for me is such that I could not personally become Roman Catholic. But having said that, could I worship within the context of a Roman Catholic church? Yes, I could. There are things within Roman Catholicism that are, in fact, I think, very wonderful. Their focus, for example, on Mass, or what we would call the Lord's Table, It's also called the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal. I mean, the focus on that, I think, is very, very significant. Now, I don't like the way it's explained. I don't like the way the Western Church explains it in general. But I like the fact that it is not relegated to a mere remembrance, but there's a sense in which people recognize within Roman Catholicism the real presence of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a point that has been diffused in many different Protestant contexts, not all, but many. Certainly the Lutherans, they believe in the real presence as well, that the body of Christ is in, with, and under the elements. The Eastern Church doesn't try to explain it, leaves it as a mystery. But I do think that focus is very important, because when you partake of communion and when you make it central, you recognize that you are partaking of uncreated energy, because only God is uncreated. And now you're living not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. But going back to a personal situation, the reason I couldn't join Roman Catholicism is myriad. Roman Catholicism, for example, forwards the notion that in the immediate state after death, there are certain sins that can be atoned for by way of temporal punishment in purgatory. And that notion of purgation, which, by the way, was defined by the Council of Florence in the 15th century and then defended later on by the Council of Trent in the next century, the 16th. It's a late innovation, and there's no precedence for it whatsoever in Scripture and in the teachings of the Fathers. And I think that's important, because the problem with Roman Catholicism is that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra or from the chair, he can establish new dogma, but that dogma may well be in conflict with Scripture, and I think in this case most certainly is, and drawn to its logical conclusion, denies the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. So I have enough problems with Roman Catholicism that I would not join Roman Catholicism. However, having said that, I do recognize that there are many sincere believers within Roman Catholicism that major on the essentials of the Christian faith. The same thing is true, of course, within Protestantism. And the inverse could be found within Protestantism as well. I mean, you go to mainline denominations, and they're pretty much demythologizing the Bible, which is to say that they've given up on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and the bodily ascension of Jesus Christ and anything that's supernatural. So you find problems in the Western Church, both in Protestantism and in Roman Catholicism.
Okay. Would I be obligated to follow him?
Well, I mean, this is a decision that you have to make. I mean, I think one of the things that is really critical is unity within the body of Christ. I think that the one thing that you never want to do is compromise the essentials. And I think that has to be the non-negotiable in your discussion with your husband. I will never compromise the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So that becomes the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and that which is otherwise.
Okay, so the Catholic Church does not meet the standards of the seven essentials?
Well, I think that many Roman Catholics do. I think I brought up the idea of purgation or the doctrine of purgatory only in the sense that, drawn to its logical conclusion, it would deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. But look, many Christians live in a state of cognitive dissonance. You look at so many Christians that I consider to be very, very devout and very sincere and legitimate Christians who believe that in the millennial kingdom, Christ will reign over a temple and the temple sacrifices will atone for sin. Well, if they drew that to its logical conclusion, Christ's atonement on the cross wouldn't be sufficient either. So I think the real issue comes down to whether or not you live in a state of cognitive dissonance or not. The real issue becomes, are you adhering to those essentials of the historic Christian faith?
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Thank you so much. In
so many ways, I'm saying I can't make that decision for you, but what I've tried to lay out for you is what the non-negotiables would be.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate your insight.
You got it. My pleasure. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Larry in Dunn, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for explaining the verses of the Bible and the Bible to us. My question is on fruit. I was listening yesterday, and I think you were talking about the bearing the Imago Dei. And I guess I would. Is it? Can you find that? Is that in the Bible, Imago Dei?
Yeah. The idea of the Imago Dei is the image and likeness of God. So the Bible, from first to last, lets us know that we're created in the image and the likeness of God. And because of that, we have intrinsic worth. Therefore, a Down syndrome child has the exact same worth as a distinguished scientist. But if you look at Genesis 1:26, for example, there you have the assertion that humankind is made in the image of God. Now, that does not mean that we share his incommunicable attributes. We're not omnipresent, we're not omniscient, we're not omnipotent, but we do share in a finite and imperfect way the communicable attributes, rationality, morality, and the like. And therefore, we, as the crowning jewels of God's creation, are reflections rather than reproductions of God. But we have intrinsic worth because we're made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah, well, I was trying to correlate and correspond. I was reading in the Bible. I remember when John the Baptist, he was talking about the bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. And I was looking at fruit. And I went back to Galatians where they were talking about being led by the Spirit, and only God can produce, I think that's in Christians, maturity and spiritual maturity. And then I thought about the fig tree in Matthew, where the withering fig tree. And I was wondering if that is a lesson for Christians today about time. It seems like the fig tree was talking to me about having seasons, and we have to work within a certain amount of time and produce fruit. And then when John was talking, it was talking about the importance of repentance and bringing forth fruit and repentance. But this walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit.
Yeah. You know, when Paul talks about that, his overall point is conveying the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in order to show that if we live in the way of the Holy Spirit, that will direct us to the law given through Moses, which no longer has condemnation for us. The fruit of the Spirit reveals what the real and authentic Christian life actually looks like. And his main point, speaking of the Apostle Paul in writing the epistle to the church in Galatia, was to win back people to the full gospel of grace that the Judaizers or the agitators had drawn them away from. When I come back from the break, we have the quote of the day coming up and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The issue of origins, Hank Hanegraaff often says, is not just an apologetics issue, it is the apologetics issue, because how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. That's why for Christians weary of the arguments of scientific materialists, there's good news. Illustra Media's new film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, combines stunning photography and imagery with rock-solid science and scholarship to show that we are the products of an infinite intelligence beyond human fathoming, and far from accidental and purposeless. Receive Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Have you ever thought that maybe living things appear to be designed because they are in fact designed by a creator for a purpose? In the book, Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, molecular biologist Douglas Axe argues that the key to understanding our origin is the design intuition. This is the common sense belief held by all humans that any task requiring knowledge in order to accomplish the task can be accomplished only by someone who has that knowledge. For the ingenious task of inventing life, this knower can only be God. Receive Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. From our childhood, says biochemist Michael Behe, everyone directly grasps that life is designed, until they're talked out of it by a culture saturated with materialism. Find out more about how cutting-edge science demonstrates why our strong intuition that living things are designed is absolutely correct in Douglas Axe's new book, Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed. Receive the hardcover, Undeniable, as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone calls. Next up is Jeff. He's listening in Abilene, Texas on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you a quick question, but I wanted to first preface my question by stating a few things. Of course, we both know that the Great Reformation was birthed out of that watershed moment when Martin Luther declared that we were saved by faith alone, through Christ alone, by God's grace alone. And I know that is that article on which the church either stands or falls. And so the lady that asked you a quick question about whether she and her family should follow her husband into the Catholic Church, you mentioned some of those non-negotiable or some of those core doctrines, one of which was purgatory. But
I didn't mention purgatory as a core doctrine. I mentioned purgatory as an aberration.
Well, so perhaps that may be an aberration, but you mentioned it. But what you didn't mention was the fact that Catholics are really not Christian in their orthodoxy, in that they don't believe that we are saved by Christ alone or faith alone, sola fide. And so I don't really know how you could endorse that as something that you could partake of in any way, shape, or form, especially in light of what Galatians talks about.
Well, I think you might have misunderstood what I said.
That point.
Yeah, I think you might have misunderstood what I said, because I was pointing out very clearly that the essential of the Christian faith, the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, are the non-negotiables. They are foundational to the gospel. They are the North Star by which the Christian church sets its sail, and they're the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. I also think that it's very important that while you point back to the Reformation, that you point past the Reformation to the scriptures themselves. So it's not just coming up with clever cliches or little sound bites, but having a thorough understanding of what the Bible says in this regard. For example, if you read James chapter 2, James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see then that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?" Now that takes some unpacking, particularly in the light of reading a book like James, where James actually taught that we are saved not by works, but by the kind of faith that produces good works. As James puts it elsewhere, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" And the answer, of course, is no. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And I would make an additional point. When James said that a person is not justified by faith alone, he meant that a person is not justified by mental assent alone. And therefore, he says, "Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Well, really good for you. Even the demons believe that, but they shudder." In other words, demons believe in the sense of giving mental assent to the fact that there's only one true God, all the while failing to place their hope and trust in Him. So while James says that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone, and Paul says that man is justified by faith apart from observing the law, their words are in complete harmony, because James is countering the false assertion that a said faith is a substitute for a saving faith, while Paul was countering the equally fallacious notion that salvation can be earned by observing the law. And you're right, the reformers were wont to say justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. My point simply being that rather than just a soundbite, it takes some time to explain what the scriptures are teaching in full.
Okay, well, let me wait. Let me just respond to that, if I may. That's I agree with what you're saying. But
well, you're not agreeing with me, because this was directly from the scriptures. I mean, I didn't even add my own commentary.
Well, I understand you're telling me what the scriptures say, and I agree with what the scriptures say, and we both agree that what you've just said aligns itself with scripture. But what you are professing as truth, the Catholic Church does not believe in. They do.
Well, that's
not
the very
that
point. That's the very point I made. That's the very point
faith.
I made with in terms of the caller. I said the issue here becomes you cannot negotiate on the essentials of the Christian faith. And certainly one of those essentials, I actually mentioned it as new creation, just as the basic category, but that we are new creations through Christ.
Would you say that Ephesians 2:8 encapsulates the gospel, that by grace we've been saved through faith, not by works? Would you not agree that the Catholic Church would suggest that if that's what we hold our salvation to be, that we ourselves would be anathema?
Well,
do you understand? I think
I understand your point, but I think you're missing the point of the conversation. The point of the conversation was not
the point, Hank, at all.
Well, I think you are, because the point that I was making is not a ratification of Roman Catholic dogma or theology. The point that I was making is that the point of demarcation always has to be if someone divides from the essentials of the historic Christian faith, including the essential of how we are saved, then we have to divide from that because that's the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And that's why I said the Roman Catholic Church is a true church with significant error.
Well, Hank, I agree. I really love listening to you, but I think if anyone has blurred the lines, with all due respect, you have blurred the lines. If you've ever heard of evangelicals and Catholics together, they couldn't settle on the fact that faith alone was the grounds by which we were saved.
I'm trying to understand where I blurred the line.
Was misguided there. I don't think that.
I'm trying to understand where I blurred the line.
Well, I think you're suggesting that she attend a church and partake in the fellowship of believers who don't believe that we're saved by God's grace alone.
No, I actually suggested to her. She's in a very difficult situation, and I suggested to her that what she should do is make certain that whatever decision she makes, and I couldn't tell her what to do, but whatever decision she makes, that she cannot compromise the essentials of the Christian faith. The essentials of the Christian faith are foundational, and when they are blurred or obliterated, then you are walking away from the faith once delivered to the saints.
Well,
Sola
fide is a non-essential.
Sola fide is not a non-essential. It's an essential. I would disagree with you. I think it's an essential of the Christian faith.
Excuse me. It is an essential. And it sounded like that wasn't listed among those things that were essential when you were giving your answer to
her. Right, but that's not giving me the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I have been speaking publicly for over 30 years. I've written a book on this subject, and certainly I hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith and constantly say on this broadcast.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying that wasn't among those things that you mentioned to her, and that would have
It was among the things that I mentioned to her. It was under the rubric of new creation. Sometimes, if you sit in my chair...
And I'm not and being critical of you,
but,
Hank.
But I want you to understand something. If you sit in my chair and you're answering questions off the cuff, you cannot fully explicate everything in every single call, which is to say that if I went through in detail everything that it means with respect to essential Christian doctrine, I couldn't finish the essentials of the Christian faith in one radio broadcast. So sometimes I have to truncate my comments.
I would agree. And while I would suggest that it's very easy to make a cake and forget to add the salt, it seemed like to me you missed the flour. That's all I'm saying, Hank, but I don't want to be mean-spirited.
No, you're not mean-spirited. I'm glad you called, and I love correction. But look, one of the things that your call ended up causing me to do is to explicate this matter further. And I did that on the basis of Scripture itself. So it wasn't my opinion. It was directly quoting the Scriptures, both from the perspective of James and Paul, and then showing that they're not in conflict. They're in perfect harmony.
Of course, your words don't stand alone. I recognize you were echoing what had already been spoken, and that is what I was affirming, not your words, but the Scriptures text. So I don't want you to take me out of context either.
I appreciate your call,
and I hope it may have been enlightening or edifying to someone listening. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Kevin. He's listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
This is Kevin from Grand Rapids. I'm over-the-road truck driver, and I listen to your program every day at 6 on Sirius Radio 131. And I want to thank you for your program that God so richly blessed you with and your knowledge and wisdom in that. And I just thank you for that. I had a question, though, that kind of think about when Lazarus, when Jesus raised him from the dead, he most certainly was a believer in Christ. So when he died, would he not have gone to heaven to be with the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely.
After Jesus raised him?
Absolutely.
Would he be upset that he got pulled out from heaven? Or it's just kind of curious.
Yeah, well, this is one of those non-normative experiences. You can imagine Moses when he was on Mount Sinai having to leave the presence of God. Would he have been upset to have to go back down the mountain and deal with the people worshiping the golden calf? I think yes. So I cannot really tell you a whole lot about details that the Bible doesn't tell you about, but I think your assumption is well placed, because absent from the body, present with the Lord. Lazarus, as you correctly put it, would have been in the presence of God. But God, for his own purposes, raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days and restored him to his family. Of course, Lazarus went the way of all flesh. He died again. And he is now absent from the body, permanently present with the Lord. I think the one thing we underscore in all of this, Kevin, is that this is a non-normative experience. It is a miracle, and a miracle that was worked for the purposes of God. And so, yes, Lazarus was with the Lord, and yes, he returned to this time-space continuum for a short time, but again, he's absent today. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, awaiting what all of us are looking forward, the time that we will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, Monday through Friday, at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. By the way, if someone wants my take on the essentials of the Christian faith, I have a little flip chart, 4x6, laminated flip chart. It is available through the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Look forward to being with you Thanksgiving week, all next week. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
www.bibleanswerman.org.